the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
I've got an idea. Let's play a guessing game. I'll sing some clues about an animal, and you see if you can guess what animal I'm singing about.
Singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
I am the chief priest of all Israel. I say that this man must be crucified. Yes.
Crucified. Scourge him with a whip of many thorns. Yes.
Soldier, whip the prisoner. Yes. With his majesty's permission, I would have the prisoner taken into the hall called Praetorium, and there treated by my people as befits one who claims to be king, but lies.
As you wish. Scribe, while they are heaping insult upon an innocent man, send to the prison for Barabbas and bring him hither.
Looks like a king.
Hail to the king.
Your royal majesty.
He only likes a crown.
A crown? Plait one from thorns and place it upon his head.
A crown. A crown of thorns. Bow the knee before the king, his royal majesty, Jesus of Nazareth.
Homage I pay him.
I pay him homage too in this manner.
The governor wishes you to bring the prisoner back to the Hall of Judgment.
There they stand, the two prisoners, Barabbas convicted of murder and Jesus of Nazareth. Behold him, look at him. I brought him here that you may know I find no fault in him. Look at Barabbas. Every part of him, his expression, his bearing, his sneer, proclaims him to be a hardened ruffian. Not so with Jesus. His features express gentleness and tender pity.
How do you do it? Your back is bleeding from being scourged, your brow and face dripping blood from the crown of thorns. Yet you stand there, meek and majestic. Like a real king.
Hey, crucify him. Crucify him.
But I find no fault in him.
We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God.
Perhaps this man is a divine being. Whence art thou?
You're in for it, my friend.
You refuse to answer me? Knowest thou not, Jesus of Nazareth, that I have power to crucify thee or power to release thee?
Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin.
Oh, he means me, your majesty. That's blasphemy.
The high priest doesn't like you. That is in your favor. He doesn't like me either.
The prisoner has been mocked, scourged, spat upon. He has suffered all manner of abuses. This is punishment enough, for I find in him no fault. I shall therefore release him.
If you let this man go, you're not a friend to Caesar. Whoever proclaimeth himself a king speaketh against Caesar.
That Caiaphas doesn't give up, does he? Uh-oh. Pilate is moving to the judgment seat. There is no backing out of what he says sitting there. It will be law.
Behold your king.
Away with him. Crucify him.
Shall I crucify your king?
We have no king but Caesar.
Bring hither a basin of water. I wash my hands, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. He is in your hands.
His blood be on us and on our children.
Barabbas, you are free. Jesus, I cannot save you.
Away with him to the cross. Crucify him.
Crucify him.
Right, let's get it done. Come on. Get it done.
A vast multitude follow Jesus from Pilate's judgment hall. When they come to the gate of Pilate's court, they stop.
Soldier, this is the heaviest cross. Give it to Jesus to bear.
He's too weak.
Do as I say.
Yes, sir.
These two lighter crosses, give them to the two companions of Barabbas.
Fallen again.
The cross is too heavy for him.
Mother of my Lord, let me help you. Place your head upon my shoulder. Then you will not see the awful things they do to your son.
Thank you, child. I am his mother. Oh, how I wish I could take all this mockery and suffering away from him. I would gladly do so.
Matthew, shall we get a little closer? Maybe we can help Jesus.
Yes, Peter, let's try. But the mob is great. I'm not sure we can.
This man is too weak to carry the cross. Will no one offer to carry it for him?
We cannot carry it, sir, for we would be defiled and unable to keep the Passover celebration.
How can anyone be so cruel to make this man carry that heavy cross?
Seize that man, soldier! He's so sympathetic, let him carry the cross.
The prisoner is unable to.
Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for the woe that shall come upon yourselves and upon your children.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to add these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
We try to show our friends the ways we see that God is good. And even when we're not the kids that we're supposed to be, we ask God for forgiveness. We want the world to see.
We are kids of the kingdom. We are kids of the kingdom. And we love the Lord.
And we love the Lord.
We are kids of the kingdom.
Peaceful way we live, tell of the eternal life our precious Lord can give.
We are kids of the kingdom.
We are kids of the kingdom.
And we love the Lord.
And we love the Lord.
We are kids of the kingdom.
We are kids of the kingdom.
And we love the Lord.
Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord.
tree, see his face, evermore. Give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks to the Lord. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and his judgment.
boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Today's story is Chapter 5, Lookout Peak. Knock, knock, Willie said to Chris as Chris pushed his bicycle beside Willie's wheelchair. Who's there? Chris responded. John. John who? Chris asked. John the Baptist, Sammy answered, running up behind Chris and dumping his bottle of water over Chris's head. Why, you, Chris said, spluttering. The girls and Ryan laughed. Chris let go of his bike and ran after Sammy. Within seconds, everyone, including Chris, was laughing. By the time they reached the top of Lookout Peak, Chris was glad the water on his head had cooled him off. It was getting warmer and warmer. He was the first up the hill and the first to find a cold drinking fountain. Ryan went to sit on the lawn area overlooking Mill Valley and motioned for Chris to join him. In a minute, Chris said, and wandered over to where Sammy and Willie were getting a drink at the fountain. Sammy looked up from the fountain and grinned. He scooped up a handful of water and threw it at Chris. John the Baptist, he said, laughing. Enough. Guys, I want to ask you something serious. Ooh, he wants to get serious. That's different, Willie said. Tell me what it's like to get baptized, Chris asked. What's there to tell, Willie asked. You hold onto the pastor's arm and he dunks you under the water. No problem, unless you're afraid of water. I mean, Chris said, how do you feel inside? Like I said yesterday, I wanted to be baptized and be a part of the church, Sammy said. I guess being baptized means different things to different people. Sammy's right, Willie said. I don't think I understood all about it when it happened, but when I think about it now, I feel good inside. Hey, water baby, over here, Ryan shouted to Chris. Don't listen to him, Chris, Sammy said. He doesn't know anything. Just figure it out for yourself, Chris, Willie said. It's just between you and Jesus. Chris looked at Willie and Sammy, then over at Ryan. He looked as if he were trying to make up his mind. Finally, he left Willie and Sammy to join Ryan. Cars began arriving a few minutes later. Mrs. Vargas soon chugged up the hill in her car, too. Come on, Chris, Ryan, Maria, she shouted. I have lunch for you. Chris bolted through his peanut butter and jelly sandwich and apple so quickly he barely tasted it. Within a few minutes, he was standing on the concrete lookout behind the fence. Maria joined him in a few minutes, dropping a quarter into a slot by a telescope. They took turns using the machine to look all over Mill Valley. There's our house, Maria cried, and let Chris look through the telescope to see their house far below them. We're supposed to be finding the two crows, Ryan said. Well, I looked up and down the river. I didn't see anything that looked like two crows, or even one crow. Well, that's the end of our treasure hunt, Jenny said. Here, you guys, did you see this? Willie said behind them. Chris and the others turned to see Willie looking at a series of photographs displayed on the wall behind them. What? They're just pictures, Ryan said. Look, Willie said, remember what Mrs. Shue said about geography changing? The Mill Valley Flood of 1911, Chris read. Funny, I don't remember that, Sammy said. Probably because it happened before your grandfather was born, Willie said. But I don't think a flood could move boulders or a hill, could it? Ryan asked. Maybe not, but it could move a river. Willie pointed to a photo that showed Mill Valley. The white line shows where the river flows today through the west part of town. This dotted line shows where it flowed before 1911, through the east part of town. Look at that, Maria breathed. The flood was caused by a landslide just below us. That made the river change its route. And flooded out hundreds of people in the meantime, Willie said. We've been looking on the wrong side of town, Chris said excitedly. Without saying another word, seven heads turned toward Mill Valley. The map showed them a wide brown stretch to the east of town that was the riverbed. They looked below them. They expected to find something that looked like an old river. All they saw, stretching from Lookout Peak to the mall where they started, were streets and houses. Nothing, Chris muttered to himself as he helped his mother load his bicycle into the trunk of the car a little later. All our miles, all our looking, for nothing. He pulled the door to the back seat open and threw himself down on the seat. Well, Mrs. Vargas said, there's always serendipity. Sarah, who? Ryan asked. Mrs. Vargas laughed. Serendipity. It means good things happen to you when you don't expect them. Kind of like getting a blessing from God that you didn't ask for, Maria asked. Something like that, Mrs. Vargas said. You know, so many good things happen to us every day. Most people don't take time to be grateful for them. Good things? Ryan asked. Like what? Like the weather, for instance, Mrs. Vargas said. What would have happened if it was still raining today? Did you think to ask God for good weather? Did you thank him for it? The three kids were silent for a long moment. Some things just happen, Ryan said finally. And some things don't, Mrs. Vargas said. Like I said, serendipity. As they headed toward home, Chris's mind tumbled. Everyone else seemed so sure of themselves. Sammy and Willie are sure that baptism is a good thing. Ryan is sure that it's dumb. I'm not sure of anything. I pray, but Jesus doesn't really feel like my friend. How can I stand up and be baptized when there are so many things I don't understand? The treasure in Mill Valley would have to wait. His baptism would wait, too.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of the Shoebox Kids, Book 1, The Mysterious Treasure Map. It was written by Jerry D. Thomas and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.